Let me just read to you verse 1 through verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And here we find the Apostle Paul describing for us how in the last days there will be many apostates, many reprobates, and they are described in such ways, evil and wicked people. And you have covered quite a few of these characteristics already. And tonight we come to false accusers. False accusers. And in the last days, there will be many false Christs and false prophets, even false brethren, false Christians, false believers, and they will be characterized by false accusations. They are false accusers. And you'll find them not only outside the church, you'll find them also inside the church. And we have to be wary of them. We have to be warned against them. And we also must make sure we are not doing such things, that we are not false accusers ourselves. And these false accusers, false Christs and false prophets, will call black white, white black, bad is good, good is bad. And did not the Lord Jesus Christ himself warn his disciples about these false Christs and false prophets in Matthew 24, verse 9 to 11? And there Jesus said, in the last days, before he comes, there will be false Christs and false prophets. Three times he warned of them, and they will deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. Are you a false Christ, or a false prophet, or a false accuser? You know, the last few years, 7 or 8 years, have been quite difficult years for me. Those who have accused me of a number of things, they say I am a heretic. Everywhere I go and preach, churches are divided. And they say I'm a deceiver, and even a terrorist. So how do you know you are not a false accuser or deceiver or heretic? How do I know I'm not? The only way is we must make sure that we are covered. Whatever we say and do must be based on the truth, on God's word. Why do they say that I'm such a person? It's purely because I believe with all my heart, and I teach and defend, that God's word is 100% perfect without any mistake. Infallible and inerrant, not only in the past, but also today. Today we have a perfect Bible without any mistake. And this is based on the fact that God had verbally and plenarily inspired his words in the past, and he has also verbally and plenarily preserved his words up till today. And how do I know I'm not a deceiver or liar or a heretic? Well, by virtue of God's truth, by virtue of God's word. For God had said most clearly that his words are pure words. The words of the Lord are pure words as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Psalm 12, 6-7. In Matthew 5, verse 18, Jesus promised, till heaven and earth pass, one jot, one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Matthew 24, 35, heaven and earth shall pass away. But my words, not just my doctrines, not just my truth, not just my gospel, but my words, every single one of my words that I had inspired will be preserved and will never pass away. So I, by faith, simply believe in what God has said. And then by the logic of faith, and with the Holy Spirit indwelling within me, we can know precisely and for sure where the words of God are. That we, without any equivocation at all, can say, it is written, thus saith the Lord. And that we can live by every word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Do we have every word of God today? Do we know where the words of God are? Do we have it in our hands? Based on God's promise and God's power, we can say yes, surely. And surely this is the truth. And as long as you keep to the scriptures, the word of God, you embrace by faith the truth. And God's word is truth. And God's word covers you in all that you believe, in all that you say and do, then you are safe. You have a strong foundation that does not change. And God does not lie. God does not deceive us. His words are true. And if you believe the words of truth, then you know you're on the right track. You are in the truth. And no matter what people may say against you, you know that God is true. Every man is a liar. And so you stick to the truth. And you have no doubt whatsoever. You're not discouraged. You're not depressed. You're not upset or angry. Because you know whom you have believed and what you have believed. There is an objective and perfect standard whereby we can judge everything on this earth. And that is the word of truth. The word of God itself. And so the Lord has comforting words for us. We know and He knows that in the last days, those who want to live a godly life, those who want to preach the good news of Jesus Christ and earnestly contend for the faith, will be persecuted, will be falsely accused. And that's why in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus has these comforting words for us. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. For my sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So there is a double blessing here. It's a double blessing for those who have been falsely accused and persecuted for the sake of Christ and His truth. So why do false accusers do the things that they do? That's the first question we want to answer tonight. Why do false accusers do the things that they do? And the answer can be found right here in this word. Now here we are told that one of the characteristics of apostates and reprobates is that they falsely accuse others. They also falsely accuse God. And here the word false accusers is interesting and significant. In the original, the word here, false accuser, is the Greek word diabolos. Diabolos. And the word diabolos is used 38 times in the New Testament. And most of the times when it is used and translated in the Authorized Version here, it is translated as devil or devils, right? The word diabolos is the name of the devil. And that is the word here that we find in verse 3, right? Without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers. Literally, diaboloi. They are false accusers. They are devils. You can also render this verse like this. Without natural affection, truth breakers, devils. Right, devils. False accusers. So 35 times out of the 38 times is rendered, translated as devil or devils, right, in the scriptures. And then twice as false accuser. Right? The first time here and the other time in Titus chapter 2 verse 3. And then once as slanderer. Slanderer. And that we find in 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 11. And we, dear friends, must be very careful that we don't fall into such a category and we don't sin in such a way as well. That we falsely accuse God and we falsely accuse others. And sometimes we may fall into such an error, such a sin. Did not Peter himself spoke to the Lord a false and a wrong word, trying to prevent him from going to the cross? And what did Jesus say to him? Get thee behind me, Satan. Right? And may the Lord not say this of us. And when we say a wrong word, a false word, let us quickly repent. When we are convicted by the truth, we are being rebuked, exposed by God's word, let us quickly repent, change our mind, change our hearts, and then speak truth. Believe in truth and follow the truth. Do not become a false accuser. And the word diabolos over here should not be something that Christians should be called or named. It is the name of the devil. We find in Revelation chapter 12 verse 9, right? We read this in our responsive reading. In Revelation chapter 12 verse 9, we read of this. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and the word here, devil, is diabolos, right? And Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So why is the old serpent called the devil? Well, the next verse tells us why he is called the devil, diabolos, the false accuser. Why? Revelation 12 verse 10 tells us, because he is the accuser of our brethren. The accuser of our brethren. He falsely accuses us before God, day in and day out, maligning the Christians, trying to destroy their testimony, distorting the truth, and manufacturing lies. That's what Satan is an expert in doing. He specializes in this all the time. And Satan is our adversary. He is our enemy. And today he is working overtime. He's working very hard because he knows his time is about up. And he works overtime to destroy the witness and the testimony of the saints, especially when they preach the pure gospel of Jesus Christ, especially when they are fervent to earnestly contend for the faith, to defend the Lord Jesus Christ, to defend his word. He is mightily unhappy and very angry when we do all these things. And so how does he go about destroying the witness of God and the testimony of God's word? he goes about by falsely accusing God and His Word and His saints. That is what he does. And he does this to thwart God's plan of salvation. He does all these things to seek to corrupt and to destroy God's Word. But can God be defeated? Can His Word be destroyed? We have every assurance from the Scriptures that God can never be defeated. Who is more powerful than God? There's none. And then the Word of God, it does not change. Our solid rock and foundation, as Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, so are His words, forever infallible, inerrant. So many promises already of this, assurances of this in the Bible, and we know the power of God. He is all powerful. And so although Satan may do all these things, trying to destroy the Word and the work of God, he is already a defeated foe. Please don't think that, you know, in the battle of good and evil, God and Satan, both are equal forces, like yin and yang. No, they are not equal forces. They are unequal. God is all powerful. Satan may be powerful, but he is still a creature. But we have our God and our Savior who is creator. He controls all. He is all powerful. And Satan is already a defeated foe. But we can be sure of this, that when God works, Satan also works. And Satan, being the deceiver, actually he has deceived himself because of his pride. He thinks that he's powerful enough to overturn God and usurp God's plan and God's work. And until now, he thinks he can. He has failed many, many times in the past. But until now, he's not convinced. He still thinks, he deceives himself into thinking that he can still defeat God. That's why he's still doing the things that he does. He has believed in the lie. He deceived. And he deceives himself. You see? But God's Word tells us very clearly in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down. He's already cast down. He's already defeated, which accused them before our God day and night. He is already cast down. So we don't have to be afraid of Him. We better fear God. And we better have great faith in His Word. And then we will be protected. Then we will be preserved. Then we have no doubts, no uncertainty. And we know for sure that we are children of God and that we have eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. You must have this kind of a faith to overcome all the false accusations and the deception and the lies of the devil. And don't ever doubt God too. Please don't think that Satan falsely accuses me before God day in and day out, and you think, oh, maybe God will believe in Satan, what he says about me. No, God cannot be deceived. Satan may falsely accuse us. And sometimes, you know, in human relationships, people say a bad word about us. And then some people may believe without checking the facts or hearing the other side. They may believe in a false accusation against you. A man may fail us, but God will never fail us. God cannot be deceived. So don't be worried even if the devil is falsely accusing you in the presence of God, day in and day out, saying how bad you are. We are all covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And God, who is not only all-powerful, is all-knowing, knows us in and out. And He is faithful. And once He has saved us, He will save us unto the very end. He will protect us. He will preserve us. And He will never fail us. This is our God. Okay? So, Satan goes about doing what he does because he wants to destroy God's plan. But he is already defeated. He is cast down. And the second question we want to ask tonight is this. How does Satan go about falsely accusing the saints? He is the false accuser. How does he go about falsely accusing the saints? Now, in the Bible, we find a good example, a good case in Job. Right, let's turn to Job chapter 1. In Job chapter 1, in verse 1, we read, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil." And then in verse 6 we read, "Now there was a day when the sons of God, namely the angels, came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them." And verse 8 we read, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, and one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" And here God tells the truth. God states the truth about Job, that he is such a perfect man, an upright man, one that fears God and hates evil. Was God telling the truth here? Of course he was. Every bit of it. It was a truthful testimony of his servant Job. God never falsely accuses. When God makes an accusation, it is the truth. And here God makes a commendation. He commended his servant Job, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. But we read in the very next verse, Satan goes about with his false accusation. You see, Satan always wants to say opposite of God. When God says it's good, Satan will say, no, it is bad. When God says it's truth, Satan wants us to believe that it is a lie. It's an error. And so this is what he did here in verse 9. "Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught?" Right? So he casts a doubt. Satan with his forked tongue, casting a doubt. Are you sure what you say is really true? He's questioning God. And in a sense, falsely accusing God. Are you sure you're telling the truth? I don't believe you that Job is such a man. And he's trying to say, God, you are wrong. You're speaking falsely. Doth Job fear God for naught? And also at the same time, not only is he falsely accusing God, he's also falsely accusing Job. Job fears you. Job believes in you. Job follows you. Is it for nothing? For nothing? In other words, he's trying to say, Job is believing in you. Job is following you because of ulterior motives, for less than pure reasons. Look, verse 10. "Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." What is Satan trying to say here? Really, Job has believed on you because he wants to be rich, that's all. And you have blessed him with so much wealth, so much substance. He is following you not because he fears you, not because he realizes he's a sinner and he needs salvation, and that's why he follows you, not because he believes in your word. He follows you because he wants to be rich. He wants to be wealthy. Less than pure reasons. And you, and in a sense, he is also falsely accusing God. That God sort of bribed or tempted Job, right, with riches so that Job would follow him. You see the double accusation here? Of not only God, not only Job, but also God. That is the devil. The false accuser of the brethren. And here he falsely accuses Job, and in the process of doing, also accuses God. So what did God do? The all-powerful and all-wise God. He's never caught by surprise. God knows, of course, the truth. God knows his servant Job. God knows himself, of course, through and through. And God knows the devil also. And so what did the Lord do? The Lord said to Satan, right? Verse 12. The Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. All right? Since you say all these things about Job, then I allow you to test Job. All that he hath, all that he possesses, is in your power. Only you cannot what? You cannot touch him. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. And so Satan went forth. And he was happy to go to prove God wrong. Right? To prove that God was telling an untruth. Something wrong about Job. And to show that Job was not such a man that God said he was. So he went. And what happened? You can read all the verses following. What a tragedy befell Job. All his children, his sons and daughters, all his possessions, all his substance, all wiped out in one moment, in one day. And then his servants came to report to him one by one in quick succession. You have lost everything. And if you were in Job's shoes, how would you have felt? How would you have felt? You know, when such a thing, you know, comes upon us, I think Job knew very well, this is not something natural. This is something supernatural. Suddenly, in one moment, in one single day, I've lost all my children. I've lost all my possessions. I was a multi-millionaire, and now overnight I've become a bankrupt. I've become a beggar. I was very rich, now I've become very poor. And this happened so suddenly. Surely God must have been involved. This is God's hand. And how did Job respond? How would you respond if you were in Job's shoes? I mean, if such a thing had happened to us, we may truly curse God, isn't it? Blame God. How can God do this to me? God is so unfair. All the bad things that happened to me, all the evil things and bad things that happened in this world, blame it on God. If all these things can happen, there is no God. How can God allow all these things to happen? If He's a good God, He's a loving God, how can He allow all these things to happen to me or to happen to the world? Do not many people who are atheists and agnostics argue like this? There is no God because we see all this trouble, all this evil, all this wickedness in the world. So full of death, so full of problems. How can there be a God? And now if this happens to you, how would you respond? Would you respond in this way and falsely accuse God? I pray not. If you are not a child of God, if you are a child of the devil, you probably will respond in such a way. Blame God for everything. He is at fault. I'm not sure He exists. Because how can all these things happen if there is a God? How did Job respond? Verse 20. Job never blamed God, never had any ill feeling against God. He did not sin against God in his mind, in his thought, and in his feelings, and even in his words. Job arose. He humbled himself and rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. He worshipped the Lord and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Is this the truth? You see, what Job said here confirmed every word that God has said about his servant, isn't it? That he was a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Precisely as God had said about Job. And Job spoke the truth. I came into this world with nothing. And God gave me everything. And I follow him not because of this, because of the riches and the wealth that he has given to me. I follow him because I believe on him. I love him. Because he has been so good to me. He saved me from my sins. I follow him because of that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And by so saying, he also showed how the devil was really a false accuser, because the devil says, when you do all these things to Job, he will curse you to the face. Did Job curse God? No, he blessed God. Totally opposite of what Satan had said. Satan was shown to be a liar, right, over here. And then verse 22 we are told, in all this Job sinned not, nor charge God foolishly. Because he was truly a child of God. And a child of God will not falsely accuse God. And will not say anything against the truth. So please take note of this. And as if this was not enough, there was a second test. Two are confirmation, right? And so in chapter 2 we read, again there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And verse 3, we read, and the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. Satan was defeated. Satan was exposed for who he was, a false accuser, a destroyer. But Satan would not give up. He tried again. And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath, will he give for his life? So you only took away all his possessions, but now you, right, if you will now touch him and take his life, or afflict him with pain and suffering, he will curse you to your face. And put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And then the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but one thing you cannot do. You can do all the things you want to his body, but you cannot take his life, but save his life, except for his life. You cannot take. Take away his health, but you cannot take away his life. Okay? And so Satan went forth and afflicted Job with a terrible, terrible disease. And he was in great pain and suffering. And what happened? Did Job falsely accuse God? In verses 7 to 10 we read, So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore balls from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal. And he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips. And this showed how true God's words were. and how Job was truly a true child and servant of the Lord. He did not sin in any way. Afflicted externally and now also internally, his body, he did not sin with his lips, did not falsely accuse God, and did not blame God for anything. Do we have this kind of a faith that Job had? It's the third question we want to ask tonight. Do you have that kind of a faith? Is your heart pure? Are you truly believing in the Lord Jesus Christ? Or you have doubts about Christ? You have doubts about God? You have doubts about His words, whether they are totally true or not? If we have all these doubts, then in our hearts we falsely accuse God. Do you know that? And we will be so easily tempted by the devil, and we will so easily fall and sin against God with our thoughts, with our feelings, with our words. Very easy. Unless we are like Job, who believed in God through and through. God cannot be wrong in anything that He does. It may look evil, but it is not. Whatever God says and whatever God does is always right, is always good. And we can never, never question God in any way. We don't judge God by our standards. Who are we? Right? We must have that kind of a faith that will prevent us from falsely accusing God, from being false accusers. And there may be times we backslide, times when we may have doubted God, and even say some words against God, angrily, because things don't go our way. But if we are truly children of God, surely the Holy Spirit in our heart will convict us. How can you say such a thing against God, your Savior? And of course, we'll feel very miserable. And then, of course, when we confess our sin and we repent, God will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's ever ready to forgive. But if we find in our life, always, we are habitually, it is a pattern in our life. This is a feature. Every time something wrong happens in our life, we blame God. We doubt God. We deny Him. We stray away from Him. And if this becomes a habit, and if this is a feature and a characteristic of our life, becomes a pattern, then we better examine ourselves. Maybe we are not children of God in the first place. We are children of the devil because we are displaying His behavior, His spirit, His conduct. A liar and a murderer, a false accuser from the beginning. And we may profess to be Christians, but we are actually hypocrites. As Paul says, we have a form of godliness, but we deny the power thereof. What good is it? No good at all. Right? God is not pleased. God will be pleased only if we have the kind of faith Job had. He always praised God, gave thanks to God, never blamed God, never a false accuser. But if we are habitually accusing God in all these ways, then we may be children of the devil, not children of God at all. And that's why Jesus rebuked the scribes and the Pharisees. They have a form of godliness. They look religious, but full of spiritual deadness. They were hypocrites. They had a hypocritical faith. And that's why Jesus said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." John 8:44. Satan is a liar, a father of lies. And if our Heavenly Father, God is our Heavenly Father who is full of truth. We are truth speakers, not liars. If we are liars, then we follow our father, who is the devil himself, for he is the father of lies, a murderer from the very beginning. And when we falsely accuse others, we are actually murdering them with our words. And that's what Satan tries to do. Please be very careful how we use our words. When we judge others, make sure it is righteous judgment. Make sure we judge ourselves first before we judge others. And may we not sin with our lips. Let God be true, and every man a liar. May we also not falsely accuse God. May we always bear good witness and true witness. May we always speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. God help us. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, please help us, we pray, to be bearers of thy truth, walking in thy truth, speaking thy truth, so that we may manifest the grace and the conduct of Jesus Christ in our lives. So forgive us, Lord, of all our sins, and help us to know thy word, which is truth, more and more, so that we will be controlled by thy word, the words of truth, that thou hast divinely inspired and preserved, infallible, inerrant. We thank thee for thy words, O Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.